Today's message is called Reinstating the Gospel. What is the gospel? And so first of all, we're going to go to Romans 10, verses 8 through 13. Now from the King Jimmy, I could recite this from memory. But I'm going to read it this way. First of all, I'm going to start back just a few before we skip. We're going to start at Romans 10:5. Actually, I'm going to start all the way back at Romans 10:1. God have mercy on you people. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal of God that is not enlightened, for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own. They have not submitted to God's righteousness. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto all them that believeth. Verse 5, Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss, for that is to bring him up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is a word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, then confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says no one believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone, because of these things, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Paul quoting from the prophet Joel. He says, in those days, everyone who calls on the name of Kyrios, Yahweh, Kyrios, Jesus. Kyrios in Greek means Lord. Yahweh, you may know, we don't know how to say the name of God, but that's about an idea of how we think to say the four-letter name of God. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This message this morning, I think, is the most wonderful message that we could have to begin the season of Lent. First, we hear in Luke 4 about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and now we reinstate the gospel and what the gospel is and the term of salvation for us all. And the terms of salvation for us all are important, and they're wonderful, and they're powerful terms. And they're much misrepresented often, aren't they? You know, Romans has a historical context, and I want to share with you very quickly that the Roman Emperor Claudius actually had the Jewish people exiled from their homes in Rome because they had riots over Christus. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like Christos, which is Greek for Christ. So, and even scholars will tell you Christus is another ancient valid way to say Christ. So the Roman Emperor Claudius kicks the Jews out of Rome because they had some kind of a riot over Christ, which was probably caused by one of the apostles, if we're following the book of Acts at all. And so the Roman Emperor Claudius actually sent men out looking for Christ. How awesome is that? He sent men out looking for Christ, this Christus, and he was nowhere to be found. Paul in Romans 13 is talking sometime after Claudius' death, and now Nero is the emperor, who we all know is terrible. But Paul was optimistic about this emperor. He didn't know yet how terrible he would be. Historically, Paul was actually put to death by Nero. But nonetheless, Nero brought the Jewish people back into Rome. Because he wanted to tax them, of course. And so they came back into all of their own properties. But here's the problem. Now, Paul is writing an epistle, a letter, to the Roman church, which is now divided. There were Gentile believers in Jesus, and there were Jewish believers in Jesus. And for a time, they've been separated. They've been divided. Now they've been brought back together. But it's not like they were brought back together like this. They were brought back together more like this, right? Oftentimes, when we get divided, we come together with conflict. Because the Jewish people were there to say, oh, aren't you glad we're back? And the Gentile folk are saying, well, we've been without you for some time. We haven't needed you, have we? And so therein is the context for what the Romans epistle is really all about. It's Paul now having to come in and broker peace. And so there we see that Paul says, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. He's reminding them of the terms of salvation that they have been taught, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the confession of faith that Jesus is Lord. The confession of faith that Jesus is Lord. The gospel, that's the gospel. The gospel was the centerpiece of Paul's doctrine. When there was any kind of a problem, he reinstated the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'll just go from memory, that's fine. In 1 Corinthians 15, when there's a division in the church, because apparently some people are manifesting amazing gifts, other people might not be. Paul says, first of all, it's most important that you love one another. Right? He says, love is patient, love is kind, love keeps no record of wrongs. But then he says to them, moreover to you, brethren, I state unto you the gospel, how that Christ went to the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. But something that gets glossed over very often is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the very beginning of it, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, I want you to know this, brethren, that no man who speaks by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. But no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Do you know how important the role of the Holy Spirit is in our salvation? We can't acknowledge the Lord without the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. God does a work in us through the Holy Spirit when we assent to the Lord Jesus. And we can only assent to the Lord Jesus by that indwelling. This is the centerpiece of Paul's doctrine. The centerpiece of Paul's doctrine is a confession of faith. Read any epistle from Paul that you like. The very first thing he says, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first thing he says every single time. Because he wants to remind us. It's right there. It's not something else. Oh, but today, there's cheap alternatives. There have been cheap. This chapter is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. Right there, Romans 10:9, it says, for that if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Spirit of God. Meaning the Spirit of God indwells you if you can say that Jesus is Lord. I think this verse has been under attack since the day after it was written, probably the day before it was written. Some of you may know there was a great preacher, and he was not a popular preacher, by the name of A.W. Tozer, who in his day attacked the idea of accepting Christ. He couldn't stand it. He didn't like it. He said, no, the Bible does not say, see, he's not wrong. We might say, oh, well, he's being nitpicky. But he's pointing out that the Bible says, receive Jesus, believe on Jesus, confess Jesus as Lord. That was the point that he was making. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Even the wonderful preacher today, Paul Washer, who's a wonderful Baptist preacher, he has taken it up as a crusade himself against the sinner's prayer. Now, let me start by saying that I don't think, I thank God, I glory in God, and all of you should, that it's simple faith that saves. Simple faith in Jesus saves. When I came to saving faith and I was at a Baptist summer camp at the age of 12, I didn't know anything except that Jesus went to the cross, he rose again, and that if he was willing to forgive Paul, he was willing to forgive everybody. If he was willing to forgive Saul of Tarsus, who attacked the church and persecuted them and got them killed and caused them to blaspheme on their way out the door and was that terrible a person, then he was willing to forgive me. He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to forgive everybody. That's all I understood. And might I say that's, as we say, that's good enough for government work. But Paul Washer brought it up against the sinner's prayer, this idea, every eye clear, maybe you've been there. I know I was there. May every eye closed and every, head bowed to say, Lord, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me for my sins. That's well and interesting, but is that the confession of faith that Jesus is Lord? Is it? I didn't hear the words Jesus is Lord in that. Did you? That's how important this verse is. It's a battleground. And there's alternatives everywhere. I was trying to think this morning of the cheap alternatives. And one of the worst cheap alternatives that we can commit is to go away from good laundry detergent, isn't it? You get the, I'm telling you right now, the big name brand cheap laundry detergent works, doesn't it? You get the bad laundry detergent, and I promise you, you will go back to the not cheap alternative laundry detergent. Unless you've done some serious research and you found some kind of cheap laundry detergent that's actually pretty well and works right, right? But overall, that cheap alternative is going to show itself all the time. And that cheap alternative is quoted from within the Bible too. Look, I love grace, precious grace. We're saved by grace through faith. But people say, you ask people, some people how to be saved, and they say, well, the Bible says, for grace by faith have you been saved. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the mechanics of salvation. But Paul does not anywhere, you can look in the Bible all you want, you won't find anywhere where Paul says you must confess with your mouth that you are saved by grace through faith. The five solas, or in this case, the three solas. The five solas, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola Christi, Christ alone. Soli Deo gloria, God's glory alone. First of all, the problem I have with that is, where's the Holy Spirit and all that? But second of all, I don't have a problem with it, but I hear people say all the time, I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Those things are wonderful, but is that the confession of faith that Jesus is Lord? Or is that the cheap alternative? There's a movement that happened a couple years ago. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. And yes, I love that. I love that statement because we have no king but Jesus. I do love that. But at the same time, is that the confession of faith that Jesus is Lord? We see people say, oh, well, you need to accept. I've seen people wave it off and make it very simple. Oh, well, you need to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is not my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is the Lord, the Savior. He is the Lord. Jesus is Lord, whether you like it or not. And one day I believe he'll come back to judge the quick and the dead. He's going to return to judge the quick and the dead, whether anybody likes it or not. Jesus is Lord, whether anybody likes it or not. And we have buried the efficacy, the efficiency, the power of this verse under the cheap alternatives. It's a matter of your equipment that we remember. All these things, I'm not standing here in condemnation of any of them. We've got to get back to the understanding that Jesus is Lord. Even Augustine of Hippo, who is a powerful ancient father, whom I have many disagreements with, but he still, in this church, we recite the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. And he said, and even Augustine of Hippo said, you can recite the creed, but understanding the creed take a lifetime. You can recite Jesus as Lord, but understanding that involves us living it out. It involves us understanding the power of his lordship. You know, when they put our Lord to death, how did the Pharisees do it? They tied the hands of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was looking to let him go. He said, I don't have anything to do with this guy. They said, well, he said he's a king. The Pharisees said, well, he said he's a king. He said, well, if he's your king, then you do whatever you want with him. They said to him, these venomous words, we have no king but Caesar. And now they made it about a riot. They made it about an uprising. They made it about this man is setting himself up against Caesar. This man is setting himself up against your boss. So now Pontius Pilate had no choice. He now had to do what he had to do. And he wrote the charges. When he wrote the charge sheet that hangs from the top of the cross, what did he write? Jesus, really, he wrote, Jesus Nazarene, Rex Judei, right? I-N-R-I. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Even the Gentile recognized who Jesus was. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were not happy. They said, no, don't write that. You can't write that. We don't recognize him as our king. But Pontius Pilate was a Roman, and he was throwing his weight around, and he said, what I've written, I've written. That's it. I'm not writing anything again because you people are asking me to. Even at his crucifixion, when people mocked our Lord, and they said, let him call on God. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, in Aramaic. And they said, he's calling to Elijah. Let Elijah come down and save him. And when he died, the sky went black and the earth shook. And the graves were emptied. The graves, as the sacred blood touched the earth, the graves were emptied and the ghosts came out and proclaimed his goodness. The spirits of those who had long been now set free. They came alive. We read Matthew. It says they came out of the graves. And the Romans were not fooled. They looked at the cross and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. They didn't have that self-righteousness of the Pharisees. They didn't have, you know, Jesus was overturning their whole institution. They couldn't stand it. They wanted to be in charge of their own institution. And let me tell you, the being in charge of our own institution is a cheap alternative to making Jesus the Lord of what we've got going on, isn't it? They wanted to be the ones in charge, but Jesus came down and said, I said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And he came down and was his king. But their blinders were on because they wanted to have something to do with it all. But they couldn't. They couldn't see. But the Romans, who near worship their emperor as a god, they said this was the Son of God. They figured it out. They said, oh, clearly, this is the one. But that message has been under attack since the beginning. It's under attack with the cheap alternatives that we give to it too, don't we? All kinds of people say, oh, I'm worried about the direction of our nation. I'm worried about what's going on. I'm worried about all these things and that. Well, let me tell you, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That is the meditation that empowers us in this season of Lent. That is the meditation that empowers us to know that you know that the Holy Spirit is with you. Glory to God. Do you know that if you can say Jesus is Lord, that means God has not given up on you? That the Holy Spirit is with you. That God has made the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. He's come to live in you. And he lives in you. He lives in me and he lives in you. And I look back at the past of my sins and my dalliances from God and then just say, glory to God, Jesus is Lord. My mother, who's here today, she'll remember that my father had on his shaving mirror an old bumper sticker that said, Jesus is Lord. This was his favorite verse in the Bible was probably Matthew, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be opened. But as far as his gospel was Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Then you shall be saved. Does it say that there's other, so many of the other doctrines that we put on top of this and we try to bury it with? But that's the core issue, salvation through Jesus. Paul even says in Romans 6, he says, you're unified to Christ's death through baptism. That's what he says. And Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter 2. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He says later on in 1 Corinthians, he says, to the glory of God, I die daily. But there's a doctrine going around today, even they think that Jesus did something for you so you don't have to do anything. No, we must be unified to the life, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And thanks to the grace of God, we can be. And that's what this Lent season is all about, commemorating the 40 days of fasting that Jesus did on our way to Holy Week, which has become my favorite. I'm sure to the Maundy Thursday and the celebration of the liturgical Holy Week, which has become my favorite time of the year. So history late. There's so much and so much union that we have as a body of Christ with all other centuries and ages of people who observe this day because Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus is Lord, we can fast with him as Lord. Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus, when he's tempted in the wilderness, he says those magic words, it is written. And the devil has to leave. But it says he only left for what? An opportune time. And the King James, the good King James, and those of us who love the King James will remember it, it says, but he left him for until an appointed season. So the devil will only leave for a little while. He's not going to leave for good. He's going to test us every day of our lives. We need to learn to take a stand in the name of our Lord Jesus. And that shows us the importance of learning the scriptures. It shows us the importance of learning the scriptures in our spiritual walk, that we can say, no, it is written, shall not test the Lord your God. No, it is written, you shall love the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Get behind me. In the Matthew version, it says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. But let me tell you, if you can't think of anything to say right there, you can simply say, nope, Jesus is Lord. That's the beauty and the power of the message this morning, that the Lord is with you. That the Lord is with you. I see people complain all the time, oh, my kids don't believe. My grandkids don't believe. My neighbor doesn't believe. I'm late paying my rent. I've got these things going on in my life. Have you reminded yourself that Jesus is Lord? That's Paul's first answer. When he hears about the division between the Jews and the Gentiles of the Roman church, he wants to remind them of the terms of salvation by which all people are saved. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That is why this morning I brought to you this message where I say unto you, I'm reinstating the gospel, both for you and for me. Another wonderful preacher, Alistair Begg, another wonderful Baptist preacher, he said, if I start looking at myself, I think I'm doing wonderfully well, or I think that I'm doing just fine. He said, that's part of my fallenness as a man. I've taken my eyes off the cross. I need to preach to myself the gospel every single day, or I've taken my eyes off of Jesus. He said, because when we get to heaven, when we get to the eternal kingdom, the terms of salvation are not because of I, but because of He. The terms of salvation are not because of me, but because of Him. What a powerful reminder that Jesus is Lord. That He has purchased for us a salvation precious in the sight of God. Peter says, you have not been purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold, but that which is imperishable. Paul says, the runners of a race strive, and they are moderate in all the things that they do. They do everything in moderation, and they strive for a perishable crown, but we strive for an imperishable crown. We strive after an imperishable crown through the Lord Jesus. By saying that Jesus is Lord. Take that message with you into this season of Lent. In whatever fast that you've designated for yourself, into all the things that you do to glorify God on the way to Holy Week, there is a reason that the lectionary was thought this way. That on the one part we see Jesus fasting, and at the beginning of the fast, and right there to accompany the beginning of Lent, we see Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Glory to God. So I urge you to continue in that. To continue. This is a wonderful time to reinstate it this morning. To continue in it this morning. Speak that over your whole life. And if you can speak it at all, that means the Lord is with you. That means His Holy Spirit is in you. That proves, not maybe, proves that you are a child of God. And that you exercise the full power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He said Himself, whatsoever you ask for in the name of the Son, the Father will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Reminded my favorite psalm before I start to ramble or anything. Psalm 37, and David says, this is something that we can see by the grace of God, through the working of God in our lives, the working of Jesus in our lives. He said, I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. God will provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And if we have nothing at all, but we have a relationship with Jesus, then we've lost nothing at all. I have everything that I need at all time, in every season, and so do you, because I can say, Jesus is Lord. And because you can say, Jesus is Lord, there's no situation put under the sun that God cannot take care of. Do you all believe that? Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.